Weight loss solutions are not one-size-fits-all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert-guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
EAGLES, Eagles.
All right. Good morning, everybody, in Jacob Nation here. Welcome to a new week on Birds 365 here. It's a football 24/7 morning edition. We'll have a full Birds 365 tonight for those who are looking for that. As always, when the Eagles are on the practice field, our Birds 365s will be tonight. So good morning to the great people of Philadelphia, to the great listeners of Jacob Sports, and welcome into another week of training camp coverage. We have week one officially in the books. And if it's not just me, I felt like a lot of great storylines emerged through the first three practices. And we'll now go into day number four of practice. Day three came this past Saturday, and I thought it was pretty fascinating. Good signs from the offensive side of the ball with new coordinator Kevin Petullo. The pads are not on yet, but the pads are set to go on at some point this week. Johnny Mack mentioned early this week, so we'll see when they get them out there. But the Birds set to hit the field again today. John is in the car now. He'll join us in a couple of minutes by phone, so we'll talk to Johnny Mack. I think overall, everybody, some of the key takeaways from camp last week now, as we have the stages officially set, and now we move into week number two. All right, I think the vibe of camp was interesting last week. Everybody was clear about the goal and the mission and about the thought process of the team coming off a Super Bowl championship, going into a new year, a new season, a new team, and kind of locking in on a prove it all over again mentality, which I think is the right mentality for them to have. Maybe a little bit of that permeates from Jalen Hurts, who's been hanging around a lot of big stars this offseason, including Michael Jordan, who's won many, many championships in his days. So interesting stuff there. I thought that was overall a very good mentality that they all took on. Jalen, Landon Dickerson doubled down on it. Jordan Mailata doubled down on it. Really, everybody had the same message. And when you know your team is on the same page from that regard, or at the very least your leaders are on that same page, that's a very positive thing. So that was one of my first takeaways from camp last week. Just moving through quickly, and then we'll kind of dive into each one. I think the other big storyline in week one, guys, was Jahad Campbell. Nobody knew when to expect Jahad Campbell out on the field. There was a lot of, I don't want to say mixed reports, but there was a lot of questions on when he would be out in the field. So he took the field in week one. That was a very positive sign, and we'll see how he develops here in week two. Jalen Hurts and the offense seem to be already in rhythm with Kevin Petullo and the new offensive coordinator. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And then the other thing is the defensive battles obviously have ramped up. You got the battles in the backfield. You got the discussion at the edge. You got Jordan Davis's transformation, which has been a fun thing to see. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as well. And then we'll look ahead to day four. Take some of your guys' questions in the chat and talk to you guys about that. So I'm looking forward to a week number two here of Eagles training camp. Right now I got Johnny Mack, John McMullen, joining me live from the car. Johnny Mack, I believe, is from the car, is joining me right now here on Football 24/7. Jay Mack, do I got you, brother?
Yeah, you got me?
I got you, man. Sound good, look good, feel good. How you doing, John, as we approach week number two here, brother? Day four of them on the practice field, day four of you being down at the NovaCare. How you doing on this Monday morning, Joe?
Yeah, it's going to be a hot one. You can tell that. So, try to beat the heat a little bit early in the morning. It's going to be mid-90s tomorrow. It's going to be near 100, supposedly. So, you know, they can put the pads on today. I don't think they will, but we'll see when they get down there. Generally, they don't like to come off a day off and put the pads on. So in recent history, it's been that Tuesday after the day off. But, you know, the weather could play a part in that. And if it's, you know, if they say, well, it's going to be too hot tomorrow. So to be determined, some of the players thought it would be Monday. Some thought it would be Tuesday. History says it's going to be Tuesday. But we'll see how that part of it shakes out.
Yeah, John, what changes when they put those pads on? Just for the benefit of the listener to know, for those who might not, obviously a lot changes, you know, from what you can see and from what you can gauge from a practice. But what will change once those pads goes on? What should the viewers and the fans of the show look forward to hearing about when you get those pads on?
Yeah, it becomes more relevant with the offensive and defensive lines, really. That's the physical positions, I like to call them. There's some, you know, back and forth running backs as well. Somebody like A.J. Dillon, it's going to be very interesting to see when the pads come on. From the running standpoint, now they can show up in the passing part of it when it's OTAs or the ramp up in training camp. So can the receivers and D-backs. But the big guys, man, you don't know until, you know, one of the stories of these early days of camp has been just how impressive Jalix Hunt has been to his teammates and also Moro Ojomo. And those guys are undersized guys who are very athletic for their particular positions. And they show up when it's shorts and no pads. You know, then when Lane Johnson and George can get a hold of you, or Landon Dickerson, yeah, then things can change pretty quickly. Conversely, you know, guys like Jordan Davis that you mentioned, he'll show up when the pads come on. Ty Robinson, hopefully, will show up more as a rookie when the pads come on. So obviously dependent on the player, the position, what type of player they are, but any of the physical positions.
Right.
And at the end of the day, they play football with pads.
Yeah, right. As I was going to say, everybody's got different skill sets, John, but you really want them playing good when there's pads on.
Exactly. So even, you know, you can be physical. A.J. Brown proves it every week. You can be physical as a receiver. You can be physical as a defensive back, which, you know, Cooper DeJean showed last year. So those guys can be physical, but you can also learn something in 7-on-7s and passing camp. I like to call them glorified passing camps, you know, the processing of the quarterbacks, et cetera. You can learn a lot of things at those positions, but you really can't learn anything about the offensive and defensive line until the pads come on.
Yep, so we'll be looking forward to that, Johnny Mac. John, week number one is now in the books. They practiced on Saturday. We spoke on Saturday afternoon briefly. I just want to real quick double back to that. But first, I want to get your kind of key takeaways from week one. Right? You had three practices. They started camp last week. They reported. They went through all the hype and the hoopla of the beginning. You went through that from your side, getting the credential and all those different things that you had to do. Just kind of your overall takeaways as we move into week number two of camp. Kevin Petullo spoke on Saturday. I didn't really get a chance to ask you about that on our Saturday show, but just kind of your takeaways of what you've seen so far, week one of training camp for this team kicking off the 2025 season.
Yeah, well, I go back to what Nick said day one, camp is camp. When he said, what's the difference? You won the Super Bowl. And he said, camp is camp. And I said, yeah, you know what? Camp is camp. Got a very familiar feel, especially in the ramp up period, as I said, you know, before the pads come on. So from that part, it's just sort of business as usual. And then, you know, you bringing up Kevin Petullo, it's interesting. I think people who watched him and didn't tune out because it was the weekend, which I've been saying, he's going to be a lot better when it comes to speaking than any of the Eagles coordinators in the past, in the Nick Sirianni era. He's more open. He's a better communicator. You know, and I shouldn't say that. Like, Shane was just very guarded on the podium. So behind the scenes, he was very engaging. had a good personality, but you know, a lot of guys feel uncomfortable because they're not the head coach, especially when the head coach is an offensive guy, to speak out of turn. Kevin's so close to Nick Sirianni, he feels very comfortable doing things like that. So I think that's going to be a positive for the fan base. Now, I put that on X, and, you know, of course you get the couple, you-know-whats, who are, oh, I don't care what, he's a good communicator. If this offense is shitty, we're going to tear him apart. Well, yeah, I you know, you did that last year. But maybe you should think about, you know, easing back a little bit, because even as talented as the Eagles were on offense, and obviously they have stars all over the place, it's not going to be seamless. There's going to be issues. There's going to be adversity. But obviously they're in a better position than most with the talent that they bring to the table.
So far, so good, though, on that offensive side, Johnny Mac. We'll see. Moving in, John, to this week, you mentioned pads either today or tomorrow. That's going to be an exciting thing. I would expect tomorrow, just based on what you said with the history of the team. But what's on the agenda for today is, I believe, Nick Sirianni set to speak before practice, so kind of reset and back to the head coach.
Yeah, it sort of rotates, and then you'll throw in Michael Clay in there at some point. So it rotates between the coordinators and the head coach, and it's Nick's day today. So we'll get his first impressions of what's going on. I'm sure he'll downplay and talk about pads coming on for offensive, defensive line. Same thing I just said. And you know, the competitions, which – nothing's really cleared itself up, not that it should. I find it, you know, amusing to think that people might assume that somebody might win a job before the pads ever come on. But, you know, you would have preferred probably a better start from Kaylee Ringo or, you know, Andrew Makuba, guys who they clearly want to win the jobs.
Yeah. I think Ringo's the bigger deal there, John. Just in my thought process, it feels like Ringo's the bigger deal there going into year three. Makuba is obviously a rookie, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for whatever reason. And it's interesting because I feel better probably about the backup from Ringo than the safety situation. Right. And mainly because we just saw it with Bryce Huff. I don't necessarily think that Sidney Brown is a fit for what Vic likes, and I'm not sure, you know, that Drew can be ready for, you know, meaningful play week one. But, you know, he might have to be. Sometimes you got to throw guys out there before they're ready if that's your best option. So I'm a little bit more concerned about safety simply because I think if in the worst case scenario, a Jordy Jackson could step in and be a competent player, and I don't think you're going to have many issues from that standpoint. But obviously the Eagles want Ringo and his upside if he can start to click a little bit.
Yeah, I'm interested to see Adoree Jackson. I mean, I know he's older than what we have on this defense, but it's not like he's that old. I wonder if he wins that job, maybe he, you know, cuts himself out a role here in Philly for the next couple of years. We will see and follow along that. John, I want to go to Jihad Campbell for a second. And talk about that. He was projected out until some point in August after his shoulder surgery, which we all know we talked about all summer, especially after Vic's comments. Day one, he was limited. Day two, there was a phrase out there from one of your beat reporters, sprinting like a gazelle. Day three, he got his first team reps. John, he's way ahead of schedule. What did you see from Jihad Campbell, and what's the expectation on him moving forward? It seems to be much further along, John, than we anticipated. Now, maybe I'm overstepping it, but what's your thought on Jihad Campbell as he continues to progress in camp?
Well, he's definitely much further along. I mean, he wasn't supposed to be practicing. So from that standpoint, the fact that he's out there, even though it's on a limited basis and he's on a rep count, yeah, I mean, he's definitely further along than everybody expected, including Vic Fangio, who made that joke about training staff liking to understate and overachieve,
yeah.
Which was a great line. But, yeah, so certainly, I mean, he wasn't supposed to be out there, so he's out there. So, yeah, he's way ahead. And you can see the athleticism. And I should say, you know, a couple guys saw that he took first-team reps. I didn't even see it, so it wasn't noticeable. It wasn't like many, you know.
Right.
I always joke
like
about
he was rotating in there.
No. And the the vast majority, 100%, have been Zach Bowen and Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Now, if it continues to progress like it is, yeah, he's gonna be a day one starter. That's why they drafted him. He is a tremendous athlete. He was on the podium, and I got to see him up close. I will say, and I mentioned this on Saturday.
Yeah.
His injured arm, he had shoulder surgery, so it's not
his
arm.
It's the left side, right, John? His left shoulder?
Yeah, it's his left shoulder. His right arm is significantly bigger than his left arm right now, because you could tell he hasn't been able to work out. His left arm for
you mean physically? You mean from a muscle mass standpoint?
Yes, exactly. Because you have some, if you have surgery and you can't work something out, you have a little bit of atrophy.
Yeah,
you got to get that back.
It's very common, John. And you'll injure a left leg, your right leg gets stronger. You injure a left shoulder, your right. You know what I mean? It's very common.
Exactly. So, and it was pretty noticeable. You know, I think he's way ahead of schedule, but it's one of those things. So is N'Kobe, but it's one of those things where, you know, he's going to be, you know, they're going to keep a snap count on him, a rep count, because he's still working back from a physical perspective of surgery. So, but, you know, it's still early. It's not even August, and he's out there, so he's got plenty of time. And he's going to keep building and getting better and better. And I think, it would be a surprise at this point if he's not the starter opposite Zach Bond week one.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how that all progresses. That's an interesting tidbit, though, on the arms because, you know, and you just pointed it out again. It's one thing to be ready. It's another thing to have your body physically acclimated to take on the – you know, the competition in the NFL. We'll see, but I'm very excited about where Jahad Campbell is, John, so compared to where we expected him to be, as you pointed out, was much further along. John, let's move into the defensive back battles. I also want to talk about Jordan Davis as well, so we'll talk a little bit about him. But you just spoke about the cornerback two battle a little bit. Kelee Ringo, kind of up and down. Now, you only got to see 3 of the 4 days. So 2 of the 3 days that you saw, Adoree Jackson was the first team rep. Now maybe Ringo got it on the walkthrough. I don't know. It feels like Adoree Jackson's going to win that job. I don't know why. It just feels like that's a more a veteran presence that Vic is going to default to. And I like the way you pointed it out, John. I think after day one was, it's not that Ringo doesn't have the ability. It's that he doesn't yet know how to play the position, and it will be easy for Vic to default to the guy who does and who has the experience. How do you see that cornerback two battle shaping up?
Yeah, well, I definitely don't think it's over by any stretch of the imagination. As I said, before they even do day one in pads, I mean, that's one of the things with Ringo as well. He's this big physical corner who's very aggressive and can help and run support and do the things that a lot of times people don't think about. There's very few 6'2". You know, Adoree was talking to us and he was joking. He thinks he's 220 because he's such a big guy. And it's rare at the cornerback position.
Right.
And it's rare that somebody can run a sub 4.4 at that size. But
John, does that make some of those limitations real? Like, you know, you hear people talk about all the time, he doesn't flip the hips. And like, I've always hated that phrase, but I understand that it is a thing for corners. I've never seen any evidence of him not being able to do it. But does that size and that frame play into something like that where it could actually get in the way, you know, fundamentally of his ability to play the position at the highest of high levels?
Well, usually if you're that big, you're not fast. And he is. That's why he's sort of a unicorn. That's usually the biggest problem with those guys.
Well, being fast is one thing, but being quick a whole other beast, you know, where you can flip the hips, you know, as people say.
Well, sure. I think that's become sort of a narrative for whatever reason. I think somebody said it, that just a bunch of other people said it, and I don't know where it started. But, yeah, I mean, he's not that – that's – you know, that's why you don't see a lot of tall guys playing nickel, because it's more about short area quickness and things like that. But outside corner, no, I mean, that's what they want. They want length and they want speed. And he's got both significant, you know, traits from that standpoint. And again, early in camp when he's gotten beaten, except for one play against Terrace Marshall, he's been there. He's been.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good in coverage. What he hasn't been able to do is locate the football and make the play at the catch point. So I'm not, that's a very big part of it, but that's not technique. That's not understanding how to play the position. Well, it's a little bit technique from the standpoint of you got to pick up the football earlier,
right.
But from the standpoint of hips and foot and footwork, that's not the issue. And if he continues to struggle at the catch point, he's not going to play. So, I mean, to me, if he can improve that part of it, he's going to play, and if he can't, Adoree Jackson's going to be the starter.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll be following along that battle all training camp long as we roll into week number two here for Eagles training camp. Practice number four today. Johnny Mack will be down there at the NovaCare Complex. Nick Sirianni is set to speak before practice today. John, continuing to roll through. Safety battle. We talked Sidney Brown. We've talked Andrew Makuba. Cooper DeJean is getting some spots at the – or some reps at the safety position and base. Reed Blankenship is your steady Eddie back there right now. John, Andrew Makuba, he looks small to me. And I don't think that's a reason to not play him or that shows that he can't do it. But just from the eye, you know, I see a picture of him, even the picture of him walking out onto the field. I'm just like, that dude looks small, you know, and I don't want to put a ceiling on what the player can be, but you're up close and personal to him. What are you seeing so far from Andrew Makuba in his first couple of days of training camp as a rookie?
Yeah, there's a lot of small safeties. Buda Baker has for years has been, you know, a tremendous player. Is at least from a height standpoint, is certainly undersized. So you can overcome some of those things. And Drew's a good athlete, tremendous athlete, good coverage safety. That's what Vic wants. But it really hasn't. You know, there was one play where Dallas Goedert was really playing basketball, boxing him out over the middle of the field, and you really saw that size issue and what it could be against some of the better tight ends in the NFL. Now, again, he's just starting to learn, so he's going to have to understand how to play with those size deficiencies. And as I've said, plenty of other players have done it. If you look at the biggest safety in football, if you want to go all the way back to a Cam Chancellor or somebody like that, it was just a monster. They're still smaller than the biggest tight ends, than the smallest tight ends, really, for the most part. Now it's shifted a little bit. You have more glorified flex receivers. Well, when you have a real tight end like Dallas Goedert, it can show up, and it did show up on the practice field, but that's what practice is for. And he's going to have to figure out how to deal with those types of players, or it's going to be an issue. But yeah, it's a problem, I would say, safety. you know, to me, Sidney Brown's ahead. He's the better player. But again, I don't think he's a fit for what Vic wants. But you might have to use him. You can't. That's the thing. And Vic's been around long enough to understand. Certainly, you don't have your perfect player at every position at every moment.
Right.
And you got to use what you have to the best of the ability. And to me, that's probably, from early indications, Sidney Brown. But plenty of time to get Drew Mukuba up to speed, and plenty of time to improve. And they're going to default to Drew Mukuba if that improvement comes over the summer.
Yeah, John, I wonder. It's like a what hill do you want to die on if you're Vic? You know, like can you live with the deficiencies of Mukuba because he does what you want him to do a little better? Or do you live with the deficiencies of Sidney Brown, who doesn't play the exact type of defense you want to play, but is technically or would in theory be a better, a more talented player at this stage of their careers? It's going to be interesting to see what Vic goes to there.
Yeah, and that to me is, you know, I was thinking about, all right, what about the players lost? Who is the most glaring, at least on the field so far? And again, it's tough to register with the defensive line. So, you know, but Jalix has looked good. Morrow's looked good. The toughest one to replace, at least on the field, not off the field, but on the field, probably going to be CJ.
We'll see what happens there. Johnny Mac, you brought up the Buda Baker thing. I've heard that a lot, man. Even amongst the fans. Oh, he's the same size as Buda Baker. And I'm like,
well, by the way, he's not the same size. He's the same height.
Same, Buda's right. That's literally exactly where I was going. I'm like, he might be as tall as him, but Buda Baker is built like an NFL player. I don't see that yet with Mukuba. And, you know, sometimes, John, this is very common in the NFL. It takes dudes a little bit to get, I call it their NFL ready body. You know what I mean? One of the best examples I always think of is TJ Edwards back in the day, who came in not very big. And by the time he was starting a linebacker a couple years later, he was, you know, built. Same with N'Kobe Dean, who's put on a significant amount of size since he got drafted. I kind of see the same with Mukuba. He is just does not have that muscle needed yet to be comped to Buda Baker. But we'll see if he can add that on. I think he should be able to, but that might take a bit, John. When you're a built athletic dude, man, people think it's easy to put on 15 pounds of muscle. It's really not. It takes some significant time.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big deal with the NFL at every position. They call it, you know, functional football strength. And when you get in an NFL weight room and an NFL strength and conditioning program, you're expected to make strides, and that's everywhere, even with big guys. Even with somebody like Ty Robinson, they'll put together a plan that says, all right, you know, maybe you're a little bit too bulky. You know, we want you to increase your dexterity and things like that. In the case of Jalix Hunt, you know, everybody's got their specially designed smoothies from the sports science department. He was told to add weight in the off season. He sent his smoothies down to where he was training in Houston. You know, that's everybody, from the smallest guys to the biggest guy. Right. Jordan Davis was flat out told to lose weight. That's part of the reason, you know, might have been, to, you know, the condition to pick up the option to get under 340. And he managed to get down to 330. So everybody's got that sort of specific plan. And everybody, when they hit the league, in frustrations with the draft. A lot of people think you draft a good or a bad player, and this guy's great, and this guy stinks, and that's it. You know, player development is real, and the Eagles have been one of the best at it. And part of player development is that physical and that process they go through to get the players up to speed from what they want from them from a body standpoint.
Yeah, we'll see how it all develops. Getting ready for day four of practice here for the Eagles training camp. Looking forward to that. John, last couple questions. You mentioned Jordan Davis there. I'm very optimistic on JD coming into the year. I know there's obviously still a little bit of gray area and what his role is going to be, what he's going to be asked to do. But overall, I thought it was a great start the way he looked coming into training camp. And I got big optimism this coming into the year for Jordan Davis. I think they want him to be more. I think they've asked him to be more. And so far, it seems that he's done the work on his end to be prepared to take on more. What'd you see from Jordan Davis in week one as we head into week two here?
Yeah, I think he's a pads guy. He's going to show up more. He's a very good player. I feel like the tide has shifted, at least on our show, where I was defending Jordan Davis for years, and now I think people are expecting a little bit too much out of him because he lost a little bit of weight. He's definitely going to play more, and Vic has made that pretty consistently. You know, replacing Milt Williams isn't about one player. It's going to be spread out. And he mentioned Jordan, he mentioned Morrow, and he mentioned even Ty Robinson as sort of, you know, splitting those reps. So everybody's going to have to play more. But I still think when you talk about situational football, which is what the Eagles are good at and emphasize, you know, if it's third and long, going to be a Jomo and Carter if they're healthy, and it should be. That's what fans should want, but he's definitely going to have to play more, and I think he's prepared for it. I think he's always been a good player, but for those obsessed with sacks, he's never going to be a big sack guy.
No. We'll see how
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, no, I agree. We'll see how Jordan Davis continues to develop here. John, last couple questions here for you as we head into day four. What are you looking for, John, going into day four, week number two of training camp, kicking off today on a Monday morning? What are you looking for, Johnny Mac, heading out there today?
Well, the first player's day off, you know, sometimes it's a reboot day, so sometimes you'll see some changes on the depth chart. You know, it'll be interesting to see if, you know, the backside of Morrow Ajomo having a very good Saturday was that Tyler Steen didn't have a very good Saturday. So, you know, did the Eagles coaches watch that film and say, all right, let's start to give Matt Pryor some first team reps?
Yeah. So
things like that can happen. Maybe they say, you know what, Odori's playing better. Let's give him more first team reps. Maybe they say, you know, let's scale back a little bit on Drew Makuba, or it might go the opposite direction and say, we need more reps. We need more reps because he's got to get better and better and better. So sometimes you see some of that rebooting after a day off. So that's number one. Well, actually, number one is pads. We'll see if they put the pads on or not. Again, I'm guessing Tuesday because that's the history. That's generally the history. But again, the weather could play into it because it's going to be 100 tomorrow. So they might say, well, do we really want to put them through that? And it's at least a little bit better today. So that could factor into it as well. So that's number one.
Yep, no doubt about it. Johnny Mac, great stuff today. One thing that I want to see, John, and I'm not there, so I'm going to have to ask you to be my eyeballs. I want to see if Jahad Campbell gets more first-team reps today. You said you didn't see him, and that makes me a little weary, John. You're normally my voice of truth, and if you didn't see it, does it even count? I don't know. So I want you to let me know.
Well,
if you see
no, I, enough guys that I trust saw it, but
okay.
we're talking like one or two snaps. So it might have been – that's the thing. I mean, somebody might have had to go to the bathroom. You know, these
right.
things are –
Yeah,
know,
right.
Is somebody, you know, there could be a little of an equipment thing, and you're going, you want those reps to keep going.
Yeah, right. You know, Trotter had to tie his thing. Shoe, John. Trotter had to tie his shoe, and Campbell got out there.
Exactly. It could be as simple as that. So until they're meaningful and he's taking a full set of reps, then I think it becomes, and by the way, that's coming. I don't think there's any
yeah,
doubt
think.
That it's coming. But then I think it becomes more relevant than just, you know, a snap or two here or there, which, again, could have been because of circumstance.
Yep. Good stuff, Johnny Mac. John, final question. What do you want to hear from Nick Sirianni this morning? Any questions on your mind, John? If you get the baton first, is there something you really want to get out of Nick Sirianni in today's press conference before the practice?
I don't want the baton first because I'm interested in the underneath stuff. So, and that's not stuff you start with. So, you know.
All right. Give me an example, though, of some underneath stuff you're interested in right now.
Well, A.J. Dillon is a guy who I did not think would be as relevant as he has been early. And that's when before the Pats have even come along. So that's been very interesting to me, and I want to hear Nick's take on that. And that's not the first question he asked in the press conference. I'll leave the Jalen Hurts stuff for the randos, but Jalen, you know, we don't even talk about Jalen that much because he's been so consistent, so solid. And you know, they picked it up a little bit on Saturday. They were throwing down the field a little bit more, so it wasn't quite as impressive as the 95% completion percentages, but you know, that's what happens when you, I made the comparison on Saturday, you know, a layup versus, you know, a three-pointer, you're going to miss more three-pointers than layups. So that's just part of it.
Yep,
I've arrived at the NovaCare complex.
There we go, baby. The voice of Jacob is in the building. Johnny Mac, have a good day, brother. We will talk to you later on today on our full edition of Birds 365. Well done today, sir. Take in that practice and give us all the updates after. We appreciate you doing it, John.
All right, thanks all.
All right, there's Johnny Mac, John McMullen right here on a morning edition of Football 24/7. All right, I might change that name, just start making it Emergency Birds 365. You get the same two hosts. Come on, you know. Used to be one of our shows back in the day, Football 24/7. But anyway, great stuff from Johnny Mac there on the opening today, kicking off the week number two here for the Birds. A lot of optimism, at least for me there is. I feel pretty good about everything. I know I brought up some of the concerns about Makuba. You know, some of you guys in the chat, you got to realize I'm a show host. About Makuba. I got to get information out of John McMullen, all right? So I'm looking to do that in any way possible. Prince, come on, Prince. So I'm pretty optimistic, though. I think for week number one went great. Great opening start to the camp. Not too much to take from it. You can't overreact to it. I mean, you know, it's all no pads. It's kind of just getting out there for the first time. But I think there's the sense of optimism for me comes from just the sense of excitement that the season is here and that the team is getting back out on the field. And, you know, there's no more big break. You know what I mean? Like, they started camp, and now it's kind of a full steam ahead. They'll have a couple preseason games, and then, boom, right away, we are going to be right in the season. So I'm looking forward to doing it. A lot of great things happening already through week one. Most exciting thing for me, and Prince, I saw you talking about this in the chat, and Daz, I believe, was talking about it, but is Jordan Davis, man. I'm very high on what Jordan Davis can be. I really am. I don't know what it is. I don't know why there's the gut feeling there. I don't know if it's because Cilio has beaten to a pulp that he's Donut Davis, and I'm happy to see him show up, you know, and take control of his destiny in a way. So I feel good about I feel really good about what he's going to provide this year to this defense. And I'm hoping that he really takes the next step, so much so to the point where, you know, we're all celebrating when that contract comes, because I think we're all excited that they picked up the fifth year option and things, but there wasn't that much. Like, there were some people who were like, why are you picking up the option? You know, is he worth this money and all these different things? And I'm not saying those thought processes were off base. I don't think they were off base completely. For a 13th overall pick, would have been very easy for someone to make the case that he didn't earn his way into that fifth year option. I don't agree. I think, you know, defensive tackles take a little bit of time to develop. This is a very physically daunting sport. It's a very daunting position, demanding position, and it takes dudes on the defensive line time. It just does. I mean, one of our best Eagles of all time, you know, couldn't play for shit until year five or whenever it was for Brandon Graham. You know what I mean? Like, you got to give some of these times, some of these guys some time. Not everybody is going to beat Jalen Carter. And I'm very high on what Jordan Davis can be. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do. How about Jahad Campbell, guys? How about freaking Jahad Campbell? Nobody knew all summer long when to expect him, what to expect from him, where is he going to play, what's he going to be, what's he going to look like, how good of a player actually is he? Did we draft the right guy in round one? We kind of all went into snooze mode because we won the damn Super Bowl. We won the damn Super Bowl, you know? When you win the Super Bowl, it's a lot harder to come up with complaints. But we all had questions, I think, inherently about what Jahad Campbell was going to be just because of the absence of knowledge, you know, around him, or the absence of being in the know and knowing about the player, basically. So he comes into camp, man. He's getting first-team reps already last week. I told John I want him to be my eyes and ears out there today on Jahad Campbell, see if he sees anything from him. So I'm looking forward to seeing that, man. It's going to be great to see. And I think hit where he is so far is great. It's a great feeling. So I do wonder, man, if he gets on the field, what happens in the Kobe Dean? I don't know. Yeah, year three. I don't know if I said something different, Neil. I meant year three. Xander already called the CB2 competition. What a casual. I absolutely did not, Pump. I don't know what you're hearing things, dude. What are you hearing things, Pump? You got too much earwax, dude. Go and pick up a Q-tip or something. You ever got one of those ads for that goofy water thing, which I could never do? Water in your ears? You clean out your ears. You got wax in there. You got residue. You got schmegma in your ears, Brian Pumper. You also got schmegma on your brain from some of your football takes. Good night, Pumper. But all right, everybody, what are you looking forward to going into week two here? All right, day four of practice today. What are you looking for from what you saw for the first 3 days to now moving into week two? Where are your guys? I want to take some comments from you guys and what you guys think. I told you guys what I'm excited about, what I'm looking forward to. I'd like to hear from some of you guys what you're thinking. JD's legs are tiny for a guy like him. I don't know. Vic loves Dean. Sorry, fellas. He's a starter until he's not on the roster. Well, he played very good, man. He played very good last year. DeJean starting on the outside. Wait a second. Is this a second Texas T? Texas T 6265. We have a Texas T with a TEA. Where's my girl, the original Texas T? Are you telling me I got to start calling now two Texas T's? Holy shit. Oh my, where's our main OG Texas T? I know she's in here. I know she's in there. Oh man, not the schmegma. Yeah. Hey, look, here's my original. You know, Texas T, they can't take their thunder like this. I might have to request a name change on the other side. All right, I might have to request a change. He says the Gene starting on the outside. We'll see. In base he was, so we'll see what they end up doing. Need to see Tony. What's up, Tony? Good to see you, my man. He says, need to see them on pads to get a better idea. I agree with that. We'll see, man. They're supposed to be out there either today or tomorrow in pads. It's going to be very hot camp the next couple of days. So if you're in the tri-state area, if you're in the region, which I think most of you are, I'm not sure if all of you are. Yeah, it's supposed to go up to 92 today. Let me look at Philly. Yeah, 92 today for me. And then tomorrow you got 96. Wednesday you got 95. And then Thursday and Friday they're calling for a little bit of rain and a little bit of a cool down. So definitely going to be some hot practices here early in the week. I wonder if that either forces them to get the pads on today or maybe even delays them. I don't know. The Eagles are always weird about that. So we'll see what ends up happening. We'll see what ends up happening. Gimmick infringement. Neil, that's funny. Here's Texas T. The Texas T number two. This is gonna be brutal. I might have to just call. I would call you just T, but we also have a T-bone. So like I already got a T. I got a Texas T. I got Texas T number two. This is a nightmare. You guys need to get more creative on the screen names or just use your own damn name. 100 in South Jersey. We in the hundreds down here. Whew, Gary, that's hot down there, brother. By the way, Gary, me and Joseph watched the Watched the NASCAR yesterday at the Indianapolis 400. It was excellent race, and Bubba Wallace took the win. Good finish, Dirty Air. Good finish, brother. Thursday is Philly cricket. Better not be 95. Joe, I'm seeing a little bit of rain on the forecast on Thursday. See that? 87. You got 87 and rainy. Friday, some rain too. Saturday and Sunday look pretty good. 79 and 82 and sunny. We'll see how that develops. You guys know how the weather can be. You guys know how the weather can be. You know, it's like Pumper. He's as consistent as a weatherman. Guy's always wrong. You know? Battle Royale for the name Texas T. That's hilarious. That is hilarious. Getting them ready for Tampa. There you go, Primo. That is true, man. That is true. Howard Nolte says, I saw something over the weekend about Vander Esch trying to sign with the Eagles. Clickbait. Didn't that guy retire? Leighton Vander Esch? He was the dude who played with the big-ass shoulder pads. He had the big thing in the back. Kind of looked like an old-school linebacker in Dallas. He was good his first couple of years in the league, and then I think he suffered some injuries. I thought he retired, Howard. I don't think that's true. I don't think so, bro. Vander Esch, Howard. I'm gonna go home and I'm gonna go ahead and say a no chance. Clickbait. EZLN490. What up? What's new, Big Z? I'll tell you what's new. What's new is the 2025 Eagles have taken the field. What's new is Jordan Davis looks like a beast. What's new is that Jalen Hurts is about to go on an MVP campaign. What's new is that the Eagles are in the midst of the best period of the best era, maybe in their history. So regardless of what the outcome is this year, I want you to enjoy the year because I'm certainly enjoying Eagles football right now. We got fans in here. We got people in here who've been fans of this team for a long time, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years for crying out loud. I don't know who our oldest fan is. I would like to identify our oldest Jacob Nation supporter. But shit, man, that's what's new. So enjoy this team because this is a blessing. And by the way, it all started when Nick and Jalen showed up. Now, I know how he's operating good right now. And Jeffrey Lurie's refined how he is as an owner. And they're all doing the right things, which is great. But they've been here a lot longer than Jalen and Nick. And this era started when those two guys took the reins. So they got to get some damn credit. They got to get some damn credit for what they've done here. That's what's new, my friend. That is what's new. Yeah, I was going to say, I thought he retired. T giving us some input. He medically retired. 45 years as a fan. I love it. It's a neck brace. All right, Slasher. What are you, like the equipment manager for the Eagles or something, dude? Good night. Guys, it's actually called this. Have you ever seen those memes of like where they spell out the word actually different because it's like a reply guy on Twitter? And you got to like correct the grammar or correct this. It's like, actually, that's not true. It's like, all right, dude, you know what I meant. You know what I meant, Slasher. Here's Philly Don, 63. Fan since I was a knee high to a grasshopper. Philly Don, that's good stuff, man. That's good stuff. Appreciate you, brother. B. Preston says, Jalen is a huge part of the beginning of this dynasty. There's no doubt. No doubt, brother. No doubt. Oh, flying mind. Can't you just take one day and enjoy Eagles football? Flying mind. You got to spend every day worrying about politics and the world and Palestine and Gaza and Israel and everything that's happening in the world. I mean, good night, you know. I care about it all, but I'm also smart enough to know that I can't fix a damn thing. So I pray for peace and I pray for everybody, but good night. Flying mind, man, every single day. Tevis says, how's A.J. Dillon looking? Dude, apparently John thinks A.J. Dillon's looking pretty good now. And there's no pads on yet, so we'll see. Tevis, my biggest question with him is the stingers, you know. 2 years ago in I think December of this year, so very late in the year, he got his first stinger. And then he tried to come back, and then he was ruled out for the rest of the year. And then the following year, which was last season in training camp, so about this time, he got another stinger, like the next time he was on the football field. And then he missed the entire season last year. So, like, the last two times he's been on the football field, he got two stingers, and he butters his bread off being a brute force running back who is more physical than the man he's going up against. Like, that's my – like, how does that bode? You know what I mean? Like, two in a row, that makes me a little nervous. But we'll see. He does look good so far, John says, though. He does look good so far. So, we'll see. All right? We'll see. Uh-oh. Bucks rookie pass rusher David Walker tore his ACL, out for the season. Oh, man. See, this is like – you know, we're going to talk about everything that happens at Eagles camp, but, like, it's a good day if something like this doesn't happen. Like, every day that we get closer to the season and we don't have a big injury, I mean, I don't that's brutal. You know, like, we had a really bad fucking day of training camp if we get news that any of our guys had a torn anything, an injury of any level of degree that keeps them out for the year. That's really what you're trying to avoid this time of the year. Is it fun to debate camp competitions and all? Yes, but look, we stunk in the first 4 weeks of the year last year and then went on to have one of the most dominating Super Bowl runs in the history of the NFL, for crying out loud. Like, training camp is fun. Staying healthy is a lot more important than the alternative. That is awful news. When did they draft him? What round was he? Oh, man, just came out. David Walker tears his ACL, fourth round pick, out for the year. Oh, brutal, man. I feel for the player. Fourth round player is going to fight for a second contract, and he's missing his entire rookie year. He's never going to get acclimated to the NFL speed yet. Brutal. Just brutal, man. Fucking brutal. I feel for him. I feel for him. I hate – B. Preston, I'm with you. I hate the offseason injuries. All right? I hate the offseason injuries, so we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening. Training hard without stretching. Big Mike, you're right, man. They got to stretch. I don't know if that's obviously what happened there, but obviously we want all of our players to stay healthy. Dirty Air checks in. This Heat, good practice for the Bucks game week four. Absolutely, dude. It's going to be hot in that game. It's going to be hot in that game. So my sister is actually friends with Trotter Jr.'s, I don't know if it's his fiance or his wife or his girlfriend. I think fiance. But she's good friends with her, and they want my sisters to go down to the Bucks game. I'm like, pack something cool. It's going to be a hot game. People talk about that stadium. So that'll be interesting to see if they go down to that. I'm telling my sister to put on her content mode. Get me some content if Trotter Jr.'s girl gets him on the field. Dirty Air will be there. Nice, Dirty Air. It's brutal. Yeah, it is. It is. Prayers up regardless. Injuries are genuinely the worst. Yep, and the Drew Zone, you know what the worst part about that comment is? Which I appreciate the comment. It's a good comment. I didn't mean it like that. But the worst, the most unfortunate reality of that comment is they're inevitable. You'll never get rid of them. As long as this game is played, you'll never get rid of them. Really, any game. I mean, you know, look at basketball. And you just saw Tyrese Halliburton tear, you know, rupture his Achilles in game 7 of the NBA Finals. It's just the nature of the beast, man. It's just the nature of the beast. So they are the worst, though. Martin Perez says, Big Z, I see Nolan Smith being our closer due to his speed, and Hunt will be the tone setter. Perez, you've had a lot of shitty takes this offseason, Perez. I'll give you that one. That one maybe could be true, but even that one, you're a little probably off base. Just going off your track record. Here's Pumper. This dude, Brian Pumper, is on a – Brian Pumper, you are on a historic streak of losing, my friend. It's almost commendable at this point. He says, who saw that horrendous Happy Gilmore 2? Do I look like the type of dude that spent my weekend watching Happy Gilmore 2? I mean, Pumper, do I look like the kind of dude that took my weekend and said, let me turn on Happy Gilmore number 2? Actually, let me pay the money or go to the theater or whatever you had to freaking do to watch Happy Gilmore. Do I look like that guy? Good night. Good night. Who do the Eagles practice against this year? The Browns, I believe, is their joint practice. So let me look what the date is for that. No, that was last year. The Patriots were last year. Yeah, August 13th, Cleveland Browns in Philly. In Philly. Look at all you nerds. It was Netflix, Z. It was on Netflix. I don't watch Netflix, you nerds. I'm just kidding. I love you all, and I don't judge you for watching Happy Gilmore 2, all right? I'm just having some fun. Good night. You guys are sensitive. You guys are sensitive. Actually, Joe says Xander spent all weekend in his vet. No, I'll tell you what I did in the vet, though. So my nephew, who's 5 years old, was up from Florida. And, you know, this kid is, he's a boy's boy, man. He was in town. So my whole, all of my siblings, all five of us, all were at my brother's house all weekend. So we all slept there. And I did my Saturday show from his house. And then my nephew, obviously, JP, was in town, 5 years old. And my oldest sister, Brittany, who lives in Florida, was up as well. And so all he wanted to do was sit in the vet. It's all he wanted to do was sit in the vet. Look, this is before church on Sunday. He's like, please, can I sit in the vet? Please, can you take me on a ride in the vet? I'm like, your mom is going to get mad at me, dude. I can't take you for too many spins in the vet. Look at him in the vet. Kid loves the vet, dude. Kid loved the freaking vet. All he wanted to do was chill in the vet. So, yeah, I spent some time in the vet. Look at him. Look at him chilling outside the vet. Look, there's me and him. He's a great kid, man. He's an awesome freaking kid. He really is. He really is a good kid. Great nephew. But yeah, he loved it, man. He loved it. So it was cool. It was cool. It was great for me to be with all my siblings too. I'm a family guy, you know. I got friends and stuff. I got acquaintances, but my friends are my family, man. My siblings. So and you guys, I guess. You guys. Real question is, has Big Z seen the original Happy Gilmore? Yes, I have. Yes, I have. Okay. I know. Xander, we getting Battle Royale this week? Probably. Nice vet, Z. Thanks, dude. What do you got? It looks like a car in your picture. That looks like a vet, too. It looks like a Rari or something. I can't see it. It's too small. My eyes don't work, man. Like, you know, when I get off the air, I got to put these things on. I can't see shit. Gary knows because I was with him at the NASCAR. I can't see a lick. Now, these, when I put them on and I'm on the computer, they don't make much sense. I don't need them for that, but I can't see a lick of anything. I'm 27. My eyeballs are 52. My eyeballs are 52, man. No phone case is crazy. Brian Pupper, I haven't worn a phone case since I was 15. I live life on the edge, Brian. I don't live my life playing it safe all the time. Say, you sound like the dude here. You're 27. Why are you buying a Corvette? Shut up. Let my gonads hang. Checkmate says, I'm 28. My eyeballs are 75. You got to be kidding me, man. They can't be worse than me, can they? Josh Prout, raw dogging my phone forever. I'll never drop a case on there. I'll never. Look, 2 years old. Only crack on this is a screen protector. I can take that screen protector off and I'm money. Brian says, no phone case. It's a female thing. I've never seen a female with her phone case off. Maybe the lady boys that you're hanging out with, Pumper, over in freaking Japan or wherever the heck you are. All right. Let my gonads hang. Yeah, I do. You know, Fleming, how many dudes go through life and dream of doing something? Oh, I'll get there when I'm retired. I'll do it when I'm this age. I just like, boom. I see it. I attack it, baby. Ryan says, he just jinxed himself. I don't believe in jinx, you nerd. I'm blind as a bat. You and me both, bro. You and me both. Slagger, I was waiting for the call out for that. You know what's funny about Pumper's comments? Slagger says, screen protector. What a puss cake. You know where I got the screen protector, right? My woman. That's right. She's like, please, at least put a screen protector on it. All right, fine. You can put a screen protector on it. All right. That's funny. Look at Wild Bear. I love you, and it's great to see you back in the chat, but I'm about to roast you. I need a case. I can't afford 100 phones a year with how often I drop mine. Here's a novel idea, Wild Bear. Here's a novel idea. Ready? Listen closely. When you purchase a $1,000 cell phone, don't drop it. You know, like, use your hands that God blessed you with and hold it. Don't drop it. Okay? Phone insurance? I do not have phone insurance. Does that even exist? Well, I guess you got. No, I don't have phone insurance. The new Jacob slogan, let your gonads hang on birds 365. Alrighty. That's not bad, actually. This is the only acceptable excuse. I got kids. I need a damn kid. I could see that because even my nephew this weekend was picking up my phone. I'm like, all right, be careful. All right, be careful. Be careful. So, all right. All right, everybody. Fun show today. Good show. For those who are just got here, for me kicking around a whole bunch of nothing, nephews and vets and phones and bullshit, we did talk a lot about football in the first hour of the show today. So, or in the first 40 minutes, 45 minutes of the show. So go and check it out if you didn't already. I'd appreciate everybody being here. We're going to have a full day of content. All right. So I'm happy to be here right now, but we got a full day of content coming up as well. 2 to 6, the National Football Show with Dan Cilio. By the way, for those who, I know there's a lot of people on here who, oh, you can't listen to Cilio. All right, quit being a crybaby, one. And number two, any Eagles fan should go and listen to two interviews he had last week. All right, two interviews that Dan had last week. He's one of the best interviewers, I believe, in the game, the way he gets things out of people. But Merrill Reese joined the show, and Merrill Reese told two incredible, incredible stories. One, he showed off the Super Bowl ring. And then two, he showed off a pair of cleats that Jalen Hurts gifted him. And it's seriously worth your time. So click onto the Jacob Sports YouTube channel. Click on the videos tab. Scroll down until you see Merrill Reese. Click the interview and watch it. And if you regret it, you can come here and call me a shithead. But I promise you won't regret it. And then number two, after you watch that, you're going to click back to the videos tab. And you're going to click on Joy Taylor because that interview was excellent as well. She called Jalen Hurts an undisputed top five quarterback and basically bashed anybody that doesn't see it the same way. We've completely broken on what people accomplish and what quarterbacks accomplish and how to gauge them. Joy hit the nail on the head with Jalen Hurts. It was an excellent interview as well. And then the third one Abe points out would be Mike North. That was an honorary mention. Mike North was excellent last week. All right. So I love it. So I love it. Yeah, man. Buff Panda says, I don't know if you talked about it, but how about the Phils smacking them Yanks? Yeah, they won 2 of 3, and they destroyed them in the first two games. I think they had like 12 runs and 9 runs. All right? So both top-tier videos, no doubt about it. Both interviews were awesome. Yes, they were. They were. Joe Webb says, Cilio is an excellent interviewer. The rest of the show, Joe, he's pretty good, man. I know he's not your style. He's not going to be everybody's style, but North was like Cataldi, complaining about everything. Fly in mind, why is it so expected for you to make that comment? Fly in mind, I want you to take one day of this next 365 days of your year. Take one day, Secunda, just one day to see the good in the world. See the beauty in the world. See the good in the few people around you. All right? Look for the good, my friend. There's a lot more good than bad. What you focus on will multiply. All right? I mean, I bring up an awesome interview. It's like, yeah, that guy was a dope. Now, remember that other guy? Not the guy you were talking about, but the other guy. He was a dope. Yo, fly in mind. Your brain is too focused on the negative. Look at a bull. He says, the bull RJ. I like it. Is that a Sixers hat on? Yo, RJ. RJ, I love you and everything. I appreciate the comment. Thanks for being here. If you're going to wear a Sixers hat in my chat, You're going to piss me the fuck off. He says, bro, I know we talk about birds, but Abdul Carter looked like a damn dog. Holy, yeah, he's going to be a beast, bro. He's going to be a beast. All right. He's the only thing I'll give Penn State credit for. They got him. They had Micah. And I think they produced some pretty good edges. But they got James Franklin, who's a schmuck. Yeah, he's a beast. Joe, it's funny. Merrill actually called the ring basically the same thing that McMullen called it. He said, it's a trophy. It's not a ring. I can't wear it out. He put it on his hand, Joe, in the interview. It's like legitimately his entire hand. Now, it wouldn't be my entire hand because I got some fucking mitts. And if any of you want to come and see them, let me know. I got some mitts, baby. It wouldn't make me my whole hand, but it was on Merrill. A-team and Secunda love going back and forth. East Coast says, Big Z, what up? What up, Rico? New week, brother. Week number two at camp. All right? Week number two at camp. So I'm looking forward to it. All right, buddy, great show today. I had a lot of fun. It's always good kicking off a new week here on Jacob Sports. Each week that goes by, you know, we were in the off-season mode for a little bit. Like, now each week that goes by, it's so close I can almost taste it. So it's going to be a very exciting next couple of weeks. Every time a week ends and a new week begins, we know we are one step closer to the football season. I believe we are about a week and a half away from the first preseason game, which takes place, I want to say it's next Thursday. Does that sound right? Next Thursday? Next Thursday night, probably. So we'll do that. I'm looking forward to that. And then we got three preseason games. And before we know it, man, the season's gonna be here. Abe says, great show, Xander. We back in business. Abe, thanks, dude. Appreciate you. Primo says, later, Z. Yo, Primo, later, big dog. Thank you, man. Thank you, brother. Changing your mindset makes a difference in your life. A team, I agree. Man, Z Man got them oven mitts. Yes, I do. All right. So, all right, everybody. Great show today. Appreciate you all. Preston says, you having another show after practice? Yes, tonight, 6 to 8 p.m. Birds 365 will have 2 hours with J-Mac. All right, so lock in on them. Sorry if you answered this. Why do we always practice with the Browns? I have no clue, dude. I got no idea. Big C Drum says, go Birds. Go Birds, brother. Appreciate you being here. What am I going to watch at the airport? You're at the airport, Zeal? Yo, Zeal, how about you load up the two interviews I just talked about? And if you already watched them, then load up Mike North. And if you already watched that, then go rewatch our Saturday edition. And if you already watched that, then you're a Jacob super fan, and I love you for it. All right? I love you for it. You got to go another 45. Pietas, who are you? I know that profile picture. What was your old screen name? You got to go another 45, dude. You really want me to go another 45? I got a lot of content in front of me. No, I got to go. I want to record a video from ZK's Garage this morning. Speaking of the vet, I got to make a video. Dirty Air, are you kidding me? He says, watch Happy Gilmore 2. I don't think I'll ever watch that damn movie. No, I might. I might. I didn't dislike Happy Gilmore 1. But Billy Don says, great show, Big Z. See you this afternoon with Cilio and again tonight. Everyone have a great day. Go Birds. Love it. Love it. Yo, Flex. You missed a good one. I was roasting these dudes today, Flex. You would have been proud. The flexing and stepping roast way. All right, everybody, I'm getting out of here. The Italian goodbye, as Twiz would say. It takes 38 minutes to say goodbye. I love all you guys. I appreciate all you guys. Hit the like button on the show and make sure you guys tune in on all the content coming up later today. I believe Cilio actually has some big interviews today. He's going to, the season background, he's going to have some big interviews. So I forget who he's got on this Monday edition. I think he tweeted it out. Let me see. Let me see. He's got Gary Cobb and he's got Howard Eskin today. So he's got Howard Eskin. He's got me too. I appreciate all of you guys. Bone for Tuesday. I don't even know what that means. Bye, Xander. See you, Izzy B. Good to see you in here. I haven't seen you in a little bit. Flexing, I'm going to watch the replay. It was a good one, bro. I was out here roasting folks. I was out here roasting folks as always. All right, everybody. I appreciate y'all. I love all you guys. Nothing like an Italian goodbye. If I don't get out of here now, it could be forever. See you next time, everybody.
EAGLES. Eagles.